Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Well, let's get into the Word of God. I'm excited about what God's going to teach us today. We're going to really be talking about the love for the Word of God, but we're going to start in John, St. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, then 2 Timothy, a couple verses there, and we're going to get into the subject. So it goes like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In chapter 3, verse 14 says this, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 together. That the man of God may complete, thoroughly equipped in every good work. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, today we're on a journey. We're going to start on a journey today that'll take us several weeks to complete, because we're going to go look at some things in the Word of God perhaps we haven't looked at before. But Lord, I pray today that we would really desire to have a love for your Word like we've never had it before. And in the midst of the culture that we're in, Lord, that we would just have ourselves surrounded by people who love you, love your Word, and we'd find ourselves just nurtured to be all that you desire for us to be. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll give you all the glory, honor, and the praise. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Shout out, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. You're going to hear a lot about the Bible in the next few weeks. And actually, from the context of, I know you got your little handout every week. On the back of it has a couple of things you might find out. I'm going to give you some Bible facts. And if you look at that little handout you have on the very back, it says several things. It says the word Bible is from the Greek, and the word Biblia, which means scrolls. The word is derived from the ancient city of Biblios, which was an official supplier of paper products in the ancient world. You say, who knew that? Well, there's other things you're going to find out about the Bible, but it's more than statistics. I want to just kind of get to this particular place that we're talking about, that maybe you didn't know this, but the Bible is still the most sold, the most downloaded, and read book in the entire world. What? That's the absolute truth. Not only that, of all the products in China that China produces in the marketplace, it is the number one supplier and maker of Bibles in the world, China. Whoa! So they make more than cell phones, okay. Many believers assume that because of the culture and liberal values that the Word of God has minimal chance of capturing the hearts and souls of mankind. Nothing could be further from the truth. When believers take on the persona of the living Word, they will bring about change and lights in the midst of darkness. The Bible says you are living epistles known and read of men. They may never pick up a book, but they'll look at you. And they're looking to find something different about you, about the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you do business and such like this. And that's hopefully what we're going to discover. I just have three questions I'm going to ask you, and then we're going to get into, pursue this particular message for today. Number one is this. How can we hope to win the world to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, without his word alive in our hearts? You'll win more people to Jesus by who you are rather than what you say. Because people are reading you every single day of your life, and you know, it's more than when you get exasperated on the freeway and say a few words of unkind or gestures that, well, we'll leave that alone. Let's move on. Number two. Can we agree that there is no valid excuse for believers to suffer from biblical illiteracy? How many of you have the Bible on your phone? Wow. How many of you brought a Bible with you today to church? Less of you did. I got news for you. Next week, bring your Bible. And if you don't have one, stop at the Welcome Center. They have a special today, $5 a piece. I'm serious. For the complete Bible. And matter of fact, I want every person, if you can, when you show up for church, bring your Bible with you and bring a Bible you can write in. I couldn't possibly write in the Holy Scriptures. The power of the Bible is not the print. It's the imprint that it has in your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, shouldn't we trust the Holy Spirit within us to make us living epistles of the Word of God? And that's what he wants to do. And so we're gonna discover this on our pursuit. But there's a little quote, they're gonna put it up there. It says, and this is by Mark Twain. He says this: "It ain't the parts of the Bible I can't understand that bother me, it's the parts that I do understand." I don't suggest you start your Bible reading in Revelation. I would further suggest that, you know, that you stay away from Leviticus in the Old Testament. If you've never read Leviticus, just read a few chapters and you will go back to 1 John or something like that. Because it's got a lot of things in it. There's nothing wrong with it, but I'll tell you one thing about it. It's not the part that you don't understand, but you know, there are some parts you can't understand. It's very clear. It says, the soul that sins shall die, or something like that, or, you know, or how about the promised one is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That much you can hold on to. Amen? So we're going to at least start with that particular principle of knowing that there's some promises that God has for us. Well, let's start off with the fact the Word of God is the living reality of all that Jesus is. Going back to 1 John, or to John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, go back to that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. This is the first biblical truth that you need to understand and to comprehend in order for salvation to find its place in your heart. Jesus was not a thought of Bethlehem that all of a sudden some shepherds showed up, he was in a manger, and that started the whole thing. He was in the beginning. I want to tell you this will help you if you're struggling with that theology. When in Genesis it says these words, let us make man. Us is more than one. Us needs at least two. But I want to let you know there was three. There was the Father, there was the Son, there was the Holy Spirit from the very beginning. And you need to realize that. Oh, I never realized that. I know why, because you haven't read the Bible. Amen. But this illiteracy thing, we're going to deal with that. So the Bible is a testimony of him who has been from the beginning. The entire Bible is a testimony of Jesus and his word from this very, very, very beginning. Now, there are pictures of Jesus throughout the Bible. I won't get into all of them today, but we will have some places where we'll intervene with that. But you know, Jesus has been talked about in various ways. From the time of the fall that happened in the garden, where Satan would bruise a heel and various things. I won't get into that. But the absolute authority of the Word of God is the foundation for everything that is spoken into existence. And this much, all Scripture is given for believers for instruction. Now, how are you going to know? I won't ask how many men here have ever tried to put something together without reading the instructions. I will not embarrass you, but that one little part you didn't think was important, or that you didn't read at the very beginning that you should have put in as the very first thing, and you are at the very last, and it won't work because you weren't reading the instruction. Well, Scripture is given for reproof and correction, etc. But the Bible, the people need to know the why of Jesus and not just the what. What are you saying? True information about Jesus of the Bible will result in transformation of hearts and lives. And so you're saying, well, I just don't want to just read about Jesus and have this clinical expression of who he is. I want to tell you, the more you learn about Jesus, the more you'll fall in love with him. And that's the important thing about it. And I have a few challenges, as a matter of fact, a few mandates for those who will take the challenge, if you call it a challenge, but I'll call it more or less an opportunity for you to engage further with the Word of God that will change your life into what you've always wanted it to be. Well, that being the case, we are called to study the Word of God and present it as truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 goes like this. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ever been embarrassed? The rest of you are perfect. I said, ever been embarrassed? Ever been embarrassed because it was your own fault? Show up the wrong place, wrong time, wrong suit, wrong whatever. But the word here is an invitation. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. The Old Testament, the King James Version said, study to show yourself to be approved. Well, it doesn't mean for those of you who just kind of pore over this and you want to get perfection. But it says, diligence is the fact that you pursue this without someone harassing you into doing it. It's something, I really, really want to know Jesus. And the only way you'll get to really know him is through his word. Well, owning and having access to the Bible is insufficient for spiritual growth. Somebody say amen. Amen. Here's some statistics for you. The average household has 11 Bibles. You say, what? I know they did this survey down south. Because y'all up here in the Northwest, where did I put my Bible? Somebody got a Bible in here? Have you seen my Bible? Whereas in the South, they got a Bible that's big enough to hold. I mean, the Bible is what props the door. Well, I should leave that alone. We got them big old Bibles. I grew up in a household, and my mom had the Bible that sat on the table, on the coffee table, and nothing could get close to it. Don't touch the Bible. Holy Scriptures. Well, I'm going to help you with that. Every day, people stop reading the Bible for good. 700 people. He said, where'd you get these statistics from? And it wasn't Google. No, I did some research and I found out, I said, why would they stop reading the Bible? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. Well, some people get disillusioned. Some people just find that they just have the time. They don't discipline themselves. I don't know all the reasons why, but I will tell you this much. That's a tragedy. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands to ask you, any of you who have a Bible reading procedure or whatever you're going through, because by the time my message is over, you will have one. You know why? Because I'm going to assign it to you. And if you don't do it, that's your problem. But don't say nobody gave me the opportunity. Well, what does that mean? It means that nothing has greater impact on spiritual growth than reading the Bible. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, you can put your hand on the Bible and say, oh, Jesus, just transform all these things into my spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Hold it close to your heart all you want to. Honey, open the Bible and read it. But what's the problem here? Well, this means that means more than just reading the words of God. Here's the remember this one. Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Really? That's not how our culture operates now. Jesus said it, let's Google it. Because we want to know, get to the real essence of things. I want to tell you that the most important thing, reason why we come to church every week should be that we would grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. But there's something about growth that some of you think, for some reason, that growth happens automatically. And to some degree, it does. However, you may grow the wrong way. Well, let me give you a little explanation for that. It's like children, you know. If a child wants to grow, or you want your child to grow the right way, same as you have a baby. Let me give you a little illustration here. So you have a baby, bring the baby home from the hospital. You say, it's our baby, this type of thing. He's just so cute. You sit him in the living room, and you say, oh, well, there's the baby, and the baby's going to feed himself. Really? So the baby's sitting, just laying in the living room, and in order for us to grow, you know, the baby's going to sit there, and after a while, the baby's going to need some attention. Now, through the process of life, if they've been fed one time, there's a process where you have to get involved in. They need to be changed. They're not automatic. So the baby starts crying. Say, the changing table over there. There's some handy wipes and diapers. Just throw some on yourself and you'll be good. You say, that's crazy. But that's how we think about how we're going to grow in Jesus. We're a child of God, and so we just automatically, you know, we're going to automatically be fed and automatically these types. It doesn't work that way. But we have to find a way to find nourishment. And the thing about it, and then the other part of the Bible does, it trains us. I am so disgusted, beyond disgust, with the free-range kids they have nowadays. Let them find them. Well, that's all right. They need to find their own personality. And you find them rolling through Target, looking at everything. And don't say nothing to their baby. They'll work you over. He's just discovering himself. And you don't want to damage his psyche by putting him on the path to put that down. You'll hurt him. He won't do his spirit. I'll hurt more in the spirit if you start messing with my stuff. In Jesus' name. But the idea of it, and the other part about it, is you have to discipline in a loving way, but you just can't let children just kind of do whatever they want. And that's what the Bible does. The Bible brings discipline to us, structure to us, brings us to a place where we can have accountability, where we can rejoice in the fact that there's a lot of things I read in the Bible that said, really? You want me to do that? What about forgive how many times? Yeah. Do the math. I don't forget. Now, last week was it, I'm done. Sister girl did that again. I'm done with her. Take her out of my speed dial. We're over, right? The Bible says the word forgive and keep on forgiving. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will show us how that's supposed to work. Well, daily habits, it's also the fact of if we're going to grow, the thing about it is we have to take on some habits that are healthy. How many of you have ever gone to a doctor who says, now I want to tell you one thing, never do. Never exercise. Just find yourself a soft chair, get a refrigerator right next to it, and enjoy yourself the rest of your life. Don't get out that chair. You ruin yourself. You could fall down and break something. You need exercise. And exercise is not always fun. Can I get an amen? You got to get up. You got to do something. Walk around the block. Jog around the block. Go out there. Lift heavy things. I hate heavy things. They call it weight training. That ain't weight training. That's weight abuse. Don't they got some 2-pounders up there? That's just a question, you know. But good, healthy habits, if you want to grow, you have to eat. And some say, oh, amen, praise God, thank you, Jesus. But I tell you what, when you have too many burritos, it will show up. But really, let me move on with this whole idea. We must read the Bible on the Bible's terms. What does that mean? We do not stand over Scripture to interpret it. Rather, we place ourselves under Scripture to allow it to interpret us. Oh, I think it means this. No, we put the Scripture over us, and it tells us how well we are meeting up to the standard of God. I know a lot of people that try to reinterpret things to mean what they want it to mean. And unfortunately, in the culture that we live in, we have adjusted Scripture to fit our personality or to fit our circumstance. That's not what the Bible was for. And we're going to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. And it's not going to be based on my terms or my hermeneutics or homiletics or whatever it happens to be. We'll let Scripture speak to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen for that one? Well, the Bible has the final authority over our lives on every issue. Now, I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about that there's the love of Jesus has been demonstrated so many ways in Scripture that there's no way we can err. The very person that they thought that Jesus was going to agree with them that needed to be stoned was a woman caught in adultery, in the very act of adultery. Now, he's going to go by the law. She needs to be stoned. And Jesus knew the law. According to the law, she needed to be stoned. Let me help you with this and help me with this. Through the time we're going to spend together, we're not going to find excuses for our sins, but we're going to find salvation from our sins. We're going to find mercy because everybody in here, everybody, myself included, is struggling with something. What? I wake up every morning and I thank God that I'm saved. As long as I'm saved, I don't struggle with anything. You are a liar if there ever was one on this planet. Well, the Word of God desires to inspire and transform us into an active, vibrant believer. And when we read the Scripture, the Holy Spirit will allow us to see the world differently. And that's a beautiful thing. Let's move on. What does the Bible say about the Bible? That's a good one to look at. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. But it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How do you do that? You don't pick out scriptures, just kind of your favorite ones that you like. But the word of God is the key to life and fulfillment of the things in life that truly matter. Now, there is absolutely nothing overlooked in the Word of God that pertains to life and godliness. Not one thing. So here comes my first challenge to you. The book of Proverbs is an amazing book. It's 31 chapters. Solomon wrote it. And it's amazing. I read through it, I can honestly say hundreds of times, several hundred times. The whole thing, 1 through 31. So here's a challenge for some of you. Everybody don't have to take it. There are 31 Proverbs. Usually in the longest months we have in the calendar is for 31 days. I challenge you in the name of Jesus that you read a proverb a day for 31 days and see if it doesn't change your life. Just one. And you say, well, I forgot. Where am I today? Well, today happens to be the second. You should have started yesterday, but I will let you pick up. I'll give you yesterday. You have to get to read two of them, one and two. But then for this day, just one proverb a day. And I promise that as you read the proverb a day will keep the devil away. It'll straighten out your thinking. The things you thought you had to, and you say, well, I just don't think the first few chapters were really for me because it talks about, a young man keeping himself pure, and I'm old. Honey, there's something you need to learn about why you got where you are today, and it'll help you get over your therapy. There's deliverance in the Word of God. Well, what about this? The Word of God comes alive in our hearts when we allow the Holy Spirit the right of way to our spirit. This is in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Or 16. Did I miss one? Yeah, I should be. Romans 15, verse 4. There we go. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Let me just take these two words and help you with them. Patience and comfort. Those are two irreplaceable things that we should have in our life. Ever been impatient? I'm going to be the first one to say. Ever need comfort? To know it's going to be okay? Well, look at this. Through the patient comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. It's more than say it's going to be all right. It is all right. Because when you start believing what the Word of God says and what Jesus said in the Word of God, he says, I've overcome the world. You're an overcomer. We are who Jesus says that we are. Amen. Even though we don't feel like it, we are who he says we are. And so that's powerful. The Word can show us the difference between what is of God and what is of the flesh. Now, I know some of you are pretty wise people. But I know I found myself in the situation saying, is this God? Or is this me? Do you know what will answer that question? The Word of God. It doesn't give you a double-minded answer. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Well, that kind of breaks it down. More than that, the Word will unravel and expose any confusion in us between, these are the three things we all struggle with: thoughts, emotions, and intentions. I praise God for the persons that are in here that have a perfect thought life. You should be brought forth and crowned with many crowns. But I tell you, I can leave the room and be back 19 times in about 20 seconds. Because your thoughts can get all over the place. And it's not ADD, it's just the enemy trying to throw things at you to get you from what you really should be listening to. See, some of you were trying to balance your checkbook while I was reading the Scripture. And you say, well, that's kind of funny. No, it's not. The enemy will attack you on your thought life. And then he'll make you think it's your idea. Well, what about this? Emotions. Oh, my emotions. If your emotions dictate to you, I'll tell you what, you'll have some very strange difficulties. Now, may I take you to probably the most emotional moment there was in the history of mankind? Jesus, the night before he was crucified. Come on, come with me. I know you don't want to come with me. Come in the room with me. And he's feeling the weight that he's about to face of bearing the sins of the entire world on his shoulders. And he calls a couple of his friends and says, you know, can you watch with me for an hour and just pray for me? Because I need your help. I need your support. And I know many of you have been in that particular place in your life. You called a friend, you phoned a friend, said, can you with me in this situation? Oh, yeah, I got you back and this type of thing. And they said, what time was I supposed to pray? Okay, I'll pray. And then, of course, you're going through this particular thing. And then of course, you get to the other side of you. Said, did you remember? Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I forgot. I want to talk to you about emotions that need not control us, because Jesus has already gone through that for you. When no one was there to support him, he says, can't you watch with me for 1 hour? And you know what? They did it twice. But then he says, Father, if it be possible, can you remove this from me? But not what I will, what you will. I want to tell you, Scripture will help you in that situation where you just feel like you just cannot make it. Well, the Holy Spirit will bring insight and wisdom that will keep our flesh in check and allow our spirit to thrive. Let me go on to another place. We must be willing to give the Word priority and preeminence in our life over our routine and schedule. 2 Timothy 3:14, we read that, but it says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. That part will get you. You must be continuing the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, Paul gives instructions. He's talking to Timothy. He says, you know, Paul went through a lot of stuff. And I believe that we are testimonies to people in this congregation that when we go through stuff, it really isn't necessarily for you. It's for the benefit of other people. And so if you feel like you're just going through this alone, it has no purpose, if you go through it victoriously, you're going to help me when I'm struggling. You're going to help me when my faith isn't making it. You're going to help me when I need a phone call from you saying, you know, just don't give up. God is going to take you through that situation. Every day of our life, we must desire to learn something more about Jesus that will affirm our love for him. What about this? We should desire to establish a heritage of commitment to the word that we can pass on to future generations. But there's one other thing I need to add to that. Wisdom imparted through the word will give hope and confidence for generations to come. Now, do you think you're living your life just for you? Somebody's watching you. I didn't realize how, I guess, direct that was. Well, I guess I did, but to the point when somebody really just kind of points it out to us, you know what? You're the only dad I've really had in my life, and you're the only reason why I feel like I can follow Jesus, because you just modeled that for me. And I'm thinking, really? On my best day, I don't think I'm good enough. But somehow, Jesus can shine through you if you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and you'll be able to help somebody on their journey. But you know how you do it? Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Stay in the Word. Abide in the Word. That's what will transform you. Well, learning to meditate on the Word is more powerful and fruitful than binge-watching Netflix or Family Feud marathons. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm about to make a confession before you. Some of you will definitely have no regard for me from this point on. But I've watched Family Feud marathons. Until one day, there are some people that are idiots on that program. This is the question. I got to give you the question. Okay. It says, name a fruit that has different colors. Go ahead, name one. Come on, say it out. It has different colors. Apples, you know, whatever. Yeah. You know what the fellow answered? Jello. I was done. When we get that stupid, why would I watch you on TV? I don't need an induction of stupidity. I said, no, he didn't. Said it with comedy. Yeah, Jell-O! Yeah. Now, let me get back to my point. Meditating on the Word. When we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, we will declare its worth and power in the words we speak. When you spend time in the Word of God, it'll change the way you talk. It will change the way you think. In preparation for what we're going to do in the next, you know, 8 weeks or so, I might as well introduce it to you at this point. Next week, we're going to start a journey through Psalm 119. So what? 176 verses. And we're going to make it through in probably 8 weeks. How are we going to do that? Because you're going to read with me. So how are we going to do that? Just join me, y'all. Because the Word of God is mentioned 8 different ways. And when those things get so enmeshed in your spirit, it cannot help but transform you into relying on the Word of God for every decision, every part of your life, where you'll find joy, where you'll find peace, where you'll find happiness, where you'll find fulfillment, where you'll find all the things you've ever wanted in the Word of God. Now, this is what the Lord had me do. He says, before I'll let you teach this, You will read this every day for an entire month. All 176 verses. I wasn't happy about it. Because, see, I got my own little Bible program. God said, I ain't interested in your little program. I need to reprogram you in the Word of God. Sometimes you need to be transformed so you can inform. And God wants to transform you from who you thought you were so you can be who God wants you to be. Oh, I'm gonna get excited. Watch out now. So the deal is, we meditate on the Word of God. Joshua 1:8. I'm sorry, I threw you a curveball. Joshua 1:8. Okay. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Yeah. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Do you want to be prosperous?
Oh, yeah, I want to be prosperous. Do I want to say, I want success? I want success. I'm tired of just messing things up.
Get in the Word. Meditate on it. Night and day. For then you will make your way prosperous. He says, well, the book, he says, no, you'll make your way prosperous. You know what that means? You'll start making better decisions. Jello's not a fruit color. So you'll stop saying stupid stuff. People laughing at you. Well, you're a clown. I'm sorry. Well, you're an entertainer. Clown, whatever. We can be confident in the power of the unchangeable Word of God. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. I'm almost there. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Wow. That's huge. And leave that other one up, the jamming up there, because we'll get to that in just a moment. The Word in the person of Jesus will remain forever. The Word of God is truly in the heart, is our heart, is the heart of the Holy Spirit, will transform our words to living water to bring life to those who need it. Now this part, I believe, God wants to sow into every person in this room. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. How many of you would love to have out of your heart would flow rivers of living water, that the words that come out of your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the heart's going to, your mouth is going to speak what's in your heart, that you'd be able, through the things that you bring living water to people who have no hope, that you say the right word at the right time because the Holy Spirit lives within you, because you're filled with the Word of God, and you speak the right word in the right season, and people would be healed and delivered and transformed and believe on Jesus because of what? The Word of God's in your heart. That just flows out of you. I know I've had the times I wanted to give somebody said, where's my Bible? This type of thing. And you know what the Lord told me? He says, my word needs to be in you. Not that I'm just disputing the Bible. The Bible is amazing. But we should be so connected with the Word of God that at that moment, at that time, the Word of God would just come out of our heart and we'd speak words of truth. Can I get an amen? Amen. Is that where you want to be? Because that's the direction we're going. And you'll be so happy to know that God wants to release that through you. Well, the last scripture I have for you, I'm going to hasten through this, is the revelation of the God belongs to all believers. Deuteronomy 29:29. Here we go. Yeah. The secret of things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Man. Secrets belong to God. Yeah, okay. But this, those who which are revealed belong to us, to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You know what that means? Jesus is a revelation of the Word of God. When he abides in our heart, we have the ability to release to people those words of life that will bring them into relationship with him, that they may have deliverance from all the things that encumber their lives. That's pretty amazing. Well, what this means is that we're to love the Word of God, and the things that we love, we always find time for. Worship team, come back here. I'm going to make these last statements, and then I'm ready to close. What it means to love the Word of God? First of all, the things we truly love, we'll always find time for. Some of you are married, some of you are not. I'm not going to put one against the other. But some of you have great friends. And if they're really a great friend, you will find time to spend time with them. Is that true? You really love them? Oh, girl, I haven't talked to you. I haven't talked to you in 6 months, but I sure do love you. Really? We find time for the things, for the people we love. Second thing is this. Loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength is more than an emotion. I don't have time to exposit all these different things, but we will in the next few weeks. That scripture is so compacted with opportunity for us to get to know Jesus. I won't even try to expound it. Let me move on to number three. The word is more than an antidote to sin. I hate to say this, and maybe I've perpetuated this, and I apologize to you if I have. But oftentimes when it comes to the end of the service, of course, everybody starts looking at all their sins. Yeah, I need to go to the altar. I got all these sins in my life. But the Word of God is more than an antidote to sin. It's an opportunity for you to live in the life and power of Jesus every day of your life. So don't just come here to confess all your sins as far as that's concerned and just go back and do them again. Make you, I want to make you feel, I just want to feel better. You don't want to change. I just want to feel better. It's more than just confessing your sins. It's being able to forsake them and walk away from them for good. Here's the last one. The Word of God alive in us will expose the darkness and overcome it through the light of Jesus. How many of you want the Word of God to come alive in you today? As I make this altar call today, I want to tell you a couple things. The Word of God is going to transform all of us together. Say, well, you'll be teaching. I said, no, I'll get a first look at it. But I want to be changed in the image of Jesus. Everybody bow your heads. Everybody close your eyes. Everybody. I want to begin this journey with you. Remember the fact of the Word of God brings conviction, never condemnation. And some of you, just a few moments ago, when I said, how many of you have your Bibles? You said, oh, man, I'm going to bring my Bible. Well, you never have before either. So don't feel all bad about it. What I want to do is sow into you the desire that you'll feel totally ill-equipped, or you'll feel like something really vital is missing, that your Bible's not with you. And I appreciate those of you who have it on your phone. That's great. Don't feel bad about that. But those of you who have never made that connection that the Word of God is a part of your life, that's what needs to transform. But right now I want to speak to people whose heads are bowed and eyes are closed. That says, you know what, Pastor, I've always desired to have Jesus in my life to a degree that I won't have to struggle and battle with the things that go through my mind, that go through my spirit, that I know alienate me from Jesus. Today, I want to change the direction of my heart and my life, and I want Jesus to be in control. Those are the people I'm addressing right now. And in a moment, I'm going to pray. And those of you that really, really say, you know what? I come to church, and the singing, I like the singing, I like to see people happy, but really in the heart, my heart of hearts, I need Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, the living Word abiding in me. I want him to take control of my life. I once knew him, and I walked away from him, but today I want to start this journey with everybody else for these next few weeks as we learn to abide in the Word of Christ, and we learn to abide in the Word abide in us. I want to jump, not on the bandwagon, but I just want to jump in conjunction with those people that are here, that the Word of God would come alive in me. With heads bowed, with eyes closed. If that's you, lift your hand. Say, yep, that's me. I'm in. I'm in today. I want to do that. Lift up high where I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. several other people. There's several other women here today. Say, you know what? You've looked at the wrong person. Just lift that hand and say, you know, today is my day. And I'm not going to stay in that other camp any longer. And put your hands down. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today as we embark on this journey of just knowing your word, of loving you more. It seems like a long journey through 176 verses. But Lord, as we just kind of compact them into in groups of eight, we'll see there's a melody, there's a method. There's a destination that we'll come to where we'll know your word, we'll abide in it, and it'll change us forever. So Lord, I pray that people in this room today, those who haven't surrendered to you and those that need to come back to you today, that want to start this journey afresh, Lord, they won't be too proud to say, you know, I need to start over again. I need to redo my journey. I'm not ashamed to admit that I need to just kind of start over. And I'm willing to do that. Jesus, do that today as people would respond when we stand and sing, how great you are, God, that you would do a work in our lives. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us? If you need to come today to the altar, would you just step out right now? We want to pray with you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.